Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we will be presenting our sixth part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. It is based upon my document titled Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, including his sinister ministers and their false doctrine. Our theme verses for this series are Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9 state this, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 2. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned into fables." That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Now today we're going to be talking about counterfeit churches. And for just a definition of what a church is, a New Testament church is an assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work. Now the word church and its cognates appears 114 times in the New Testament. It is not our intent here to provide an exhaustive treatment of all those. The church is the most important organization on the face of this earth because the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 state the following. Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made ye overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." There are those that state that the church did not start until the day of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus Christ would disagree with that. He told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's Matthew 16, verse 18. That states that the Lord Jesus Christ started the church before his crucifixion while he was on the face of the earth. We also have the instructions of the Lord to the disciples in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." That's Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. If the church did not start before the day of Pentecost, then how could this commandment be obeyed? How would they tell it to the church? It is eminently more scriptural to state that the Lord Jesus Christ started the church before the crucifixion and empowered it with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost became the vicar of the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. It is the Holy Ghost that administers the affairs of the church while Christ is in heaven. The administrator of the church has been changed from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Holy Ghost. And once again, that occurred on the day of Pentecost. Without quoting a lot of scripture, we are told that the church is, number one, to worship God. That's John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Number two, sing praises unto God. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Number three, the church is to preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 26, verse 13. Mark 14, verse 9. Mark 16, verse 15. Luke 24, verse 47. Acts 1, verse 8, and so forth. The word preach and its cognates is used 133 times in the New Testament. Number four, the church is also to baptize believers. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and so forth. There are 65 references to water baptism in the New Testament. You could refer to our previous presentation where we talked about counterfeit baptisms. Number five, the church is to hold communion or the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Its frequency is not mandated. The Bible says that as oft as you exercise the Lord's Supper. Number six, the church is to receive tithes and offerings of its membership. That's Matthew chapter 23, verse 30, verse 23, Luke chapter 11, verse 42, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 8, and 2 Corinthians 9. Tithing transcends the law. It was required starting in the book of Genesis with Cain, Abel, and Abraham before the law. It was also required under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ commended tithing in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, and in Luke chapter 11, verse 42. The New Testament church is God's storehouse for the Christian. And I have prepared a presentation where I deal with the question, is tithing a New Testament principle? And of course it is. And maybe at some time we can give you a presentation on that one also. Number seven, the church is to discipline sinning and errant church members who will not repent. That is in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. The church is also to assemble. That's Hebrews 10:25. And then in item number 9, the church is to teach doctrine. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 17, Romans 16, verse 17, Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 16, 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 through 5, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4, and so forth. The word doctrine is used 50 times in the New Testament. This is an element that is mostly and sadly missing from most churches. The root word of the word indoctrinate is doctrine. The word indoctrinate literally means to put doctrine into someone. When speaking of Bible-believing Christianity, the mocking, unsaved world always uses indoctrinate in an extremely derogatory and negative sense. It is usually said something like this: oh, you Christians are brainwashed. Quite to the contrary, Bible-believing Christians have forsaken brainwashed groupthink so that they can think for themselves and make decisions based upon the most logical system of reasoning that God has gifted to mankind. That system is called a biblical worldview. Number 10, the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Number 11, the church is to minister to widows. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Number 12, the church is to minister to the sick. That is James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Number 13, the church is the virgin chaste bride of Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Number 14, the church is the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 24. And number 15, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We could identify many, many more responsibilities and characteristics of Bible-believing churches. The best way to spot a counterfeit is to thoroughly understand what the real thing looks like. The Bible tells us what a church ought to be. In the Bible, we can identify three major groups of churches that any number of adjectives can be used to describe. Those three are Bible-believing churches, apostate churches, and heretical churches. We would place those churches into two classifications, Bible-believing churches and counterfeit churches. We identify apostate and heretical churches as counterfeits. There is a difference between apostasy and heresy. Apostasy deals more with the application side of doctrine, while heresy deals with an outright rejection of the plain statements of scriptural doctrines. Apostasy is a falling away from scriptural doctrines once held to. Apostasy is knowing what is right while refusing to do that which is right. It is characterized by compromised doctrine, promoting corrupt Bibles, vacillating weak leaders, fearful leaders, a rejection and mocking of the old-time ways, loud, corrupt, worldly music in the church, sexually revealing dress by men and women, promoting adult sexual perversion, promoting sexual perversion to children, including the mutilation of children through the satanic transgender movement, grooming and promoting sexual perversion through drag queen shows in churches before groups of children, stealing money from God's people through the promotion of corrupt television, radio, and internet ministries, and so forth. Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 33 gives us a broad overview of what the character of a New Testament church should be. It states the following, starting in verse 21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular shall love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. There are numerous churches identified throughout the New Testament. Churches in homes are mentioned three times. You have the church of large areas such as Asia, Galatia, Macedonia, Syria, Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and so forth. The first church mentioned by name is the church at Jerusalem. There are churches that have specific epistles written to them. These would include Rome, Corinth, Colossae, Philippi, Thessalonica, Ephesus, and Galatia. Perhaps the most dysfunctional church in the New Testament was at Corinth. It was the subject of much reproof and correction by the Holy Ghost through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. If anything could go wrong in a church, it did at Corinth. There were huge issues with doctrine, vile sins, and divisions within that church. It is a handbook on what a church should not do. Paul expressed his fear of the compromise and sin in the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Verse number 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with them." So Paul feared compromise in that church at Corinth. Paul again makes a comparison between the church and Christ in the passage of Scripture that we just read, the church and Christ and a husband and wife relationship. The church is the bride of Christ, and is to be a chaste virgin and not as the harlot of Revelation chapter 17. Paul also warns the church at Corinth to beware of satanic ministers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." That is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. The pulpits of American churches are full of Satan's sinister ministers. I could anger the disciples of every denomination, including my own, by providing a never-ending list of Satan's sinister ministers that teach and preach behind their lecterns and pulpits. Then we have the seven churches of the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. All seven of those churches were literal churches located in what is now called Turkey. We're going to go and read both Revelation chapters 2 and 3 that describe these churches. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Next we deal with the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Next up, and starting in verse 12, is the church of Pergamos. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth them. Next we get into the church at Thyatira, and starting in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the children shall, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That completes Revelation chapter 2. Next up is Revelation chapter 3. The church at Sardis is next. Verse 1 of Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That completes the church at Sardis. Next up is the church at Philadelphia, starting in verse 7 of Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my words, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Of course, that completes the church at Sardis. Excuse me, the church at Philadelphia. Next up is the church of the Laodiceans. In verse 14 of Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That completes the reading of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Now, I have heard and read many Bible teachers and Bible preachers that state that Revelation chapters 2 and 3 were a progressive, brief overview of the coming history of the New Testament church. Put another way, they say Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are a microcosm of church history. Well, I could somewhat agree with that as one application. I more so see the seven churches of the book of Revelation as being types of churches that we see coexisting throughout the world in every generation. Most churches seem to move through a life cycle that takes them from a fervent love of God to a hellish love of self. All seven of the churches that are identified in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 were located in what is now the home of that God-hating Muslim country of Turkey. Those seven churches do not exist today. If they did, they would be suffering great persecutions, tortures, and murders at the blood-soaked hands of those peace-loving Muslims. Following World War I on October 29, 1923, Turkey was formed out of some of the remnants of the ungodly, barbaric Ottoman Islamic Empire. The Ottoman Empire has been one of the greatest persecutors and murderers of Christians and Jews in the history of the world. They are a Muslim country that hates Jews and Christians. The current leader of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, some call him Erdogan as his last name, he is consumed with the spirit of Antichrist. He hates the Jew and proves it yet again by his rhetoric and actions against Israel since the start of the Israeli-Hamas war that began on October 7, 2023. Erdogan also hates Christians. As a reminder to the serious Bible student, modern-day Turkey and the surrounding Islamic countries are the home of the nations that will attack Israel in the lead-up to the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. Some of those nations are clearly identified in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is this same area of the world that will produce the Antichrist, who is referred to in Isaiah chapter 14 and Micah chapter 5 as the Assyrian. In the letters to the seven churches, the Lord Jesus Christ has something good to say about six of the seven churches, with the exception of the Church of the Laodiceans. He had nothing good to say about the Church of the Laodicean. The Lord Jesus Christ had nothing bad to say about two of the seven churches. Those would be the churches in Smyrna and Philadelphia. He commended five of the seven churches, and he told five of the seven churches to repent. And, of course, among those were not Smyrna and Philadelphia. All seven letters to the churches close with a different promise to all the overcomers in all seven churches. We're going to close out there for today's section, and then we will, when we come back in our next session, we're going to deal and make some comments about each of these seven churches in our next presentation. Thank you for joining us today.